Good Friday morning, everybody. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Boy, that's a good guess. I don't know.
Right? I'm going with it.
Throw a dart and hit a channel, baby. We're there.
We're definitely on news. We're always on news.
Always on news.
It's just a matter of if we're on two or not.
Yeah.
Unless there's some big event going on, then sometimes we go to you or
Pac
the Ocho
Rim, sir.
Or something. I don't know. Yeah. Listen, there's only six left. God knows where we are.
Who's this guy?
Yeah. Hey, how are you?
Hal,
what's up, man?
What's up, peoples? How we doing?
Good. How are you?
Let me just start off by saying HTTFT.
HTTF.
Hail to the Washington
Hail
football team.
To the football team. Hail victory.
Wow.
Hail to the football team. Fight for old DC. It just naturally rings off.
And let me say to you guys both, happy Tay Day. Folklore dropped at midnight last night. I'm about halfway through the album on the way in this morning. Already a delight. A lot to get into there. Bon Iver. Wow, what a presence.
Wow. Heard that with Jerwin, the intro there. A little Taylor Swift was all a part of that. So glad you're with us. And baseball is back.
There you go.
Woo, man. And is there anything more peak baseball 2020 than the opening day game being shortened by a massive storm? I mean, is there anything that could be more ominous and foreboding for the sport in general than that happening?
Nothing. The rain delay ended up lasting longer than the actual play until they called it after six innings.
They finally figured out those pace issues.
Unbelievable. Yeah, there you go. That's exactly right. How about us? We just threw out there yesterday, Mike, you and I, over under 2.5 home runs. First inning, there were two home runs. The first inning's over, there were two home runs. You had to be going, oh, my God, it's going to be a slugfest. Now, it turned out it wasn't because Scherzer, you know, and Cole both. Scherzer, what, with 11 strikeouts in this one? Cole giving up just the one run and one hit, and that was the home run to Adam Eaton. So they locked into who they were.
They did, and in all that, we need to address the elephant in the room in all
this
ahead.
One. Go ahead.
Let's get it out of the way.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Junior.
So, listen, I just want to say Dr. Fauci's been really busy.
Yes.
Like, he's had a lot going on, and I think he wanted to show us that he's not perfect, but you can still try and do the right things in all this one because, man, that first pitch was not great.
It was terrible.
Wow.
But let's be clear. What would be better for him? Would it be better if he made the throw that he made? And we'll understand, well, he's clearly got a lot on his mind, and there's things way more important than this game that he's working on to make this country as safe as possible and as fast as possible. Or if he had thrown a strike, would people like, yeah, that's our guy, or like, he's clearly not working.
I would think people said, wow, he could do what he does for infectious disease and throw a strike. Listen, I felt bad in Book It yesterday when Mike said, Book It, he's going to throw a strike. I said, I want him to. My heart is in the right place. But I didn't think there was any way. Now, the man is 79 years old.
Yeah.
Former marathoner.
He walked out to the mound. He didn't stand in front of it, but he didn't stand on the rubber. He stood somewhere in between that. As soon as he stopped there, I thought, oh, no. And then he let loose on a 50-cent pitch.
Yeah.
You know? And then that was
who knew they were boys, right?
Yeah. I know.
Fauci and Fitty. Their album's dropping soon, right?
Oh,
it's got to be.
Dr. Fauci had a tough time getting in the zone. Getting the zone's brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I feel bad doing the read for that man.
But we
still can celebrate Dr. Fauci and what he tried to do in that moment. And thankfully, that was like the last bad pitch we saw that night. Although, so I want your guys' thoughts on this because – obviously, we had that first game take place. It was our first foray back into this. And if people hadn't been watching the exhibitions, they didn't hear, all right, the piped in crowd sounds,
right,
the things that have been a part of that ambient sound in that game. I felt like you got the best of both worlds because baseball is kind of a passive watch, right? You can have it on while you're doing some things. You're sitting there and you're paying attention to some. But as long as it sounds normal, it felt like a normal game. I didn't really feel the lack of crowd. And I still got the added advantage of, all right, this is what we want when things are quiet. We can hear a little bit more. When you hear the crack of that Giancarlo Stanton home run and the immediate GD for Max Scherzer right as soon as he gets to the end of the follow through and knows that thing's gone.
Open mic, live mic, hot mic all the time. Actually, the funniest thing for me in watching the game last night was our pal Buster just sitting there by his lonesome. He's talking about missing the smell of the hot dogs and the baseball.
Yeah.
He's just sort of in, I miss the food. I'm in my little container here, and I'm just watching a baseball game.
He's got a BYOF, man. He's got to bring his own food to these things. I mean, that's where we are. I didn't have a problem at all watching it. I mean, the sound they piped in I thought was fine. You know, you get used to, just as I'm sure the athletes do, you just get used to there's nobody in the stands. You normally have that. That's what you'd like to have, but you don't have it. So you just adapt to it as all the other sports has done it well, and you deal. I do like the sound, though. I do like the sound.
And they had the organ players in there going along. They've got all that background.
All the introductions, all everything. Yeah.
I do think, though, what you guys are talking about is going to be the most fascinating part of the season going forward. The things you will be able to hear at baseball games that you never would have been able to hear in the past. There was that game a few years ago because of the protests in Baltimore where they played a silent game, and it was a fascinating listen more than it was a watch, because there was nobody else in the stands, and you're going to be able to hear things like that GD off Scherzer right. I mean, that's going to be the fun part of this. You're going to be able to pick up so much from the live mics in the baseball games from the players themselves. It's going to be fascinating.
I'll be interested. Fox is going to put the
fake fans,
virtual fans in there. So I'm going to be real interested to see what that looks like, because everybody will do the crowd noise thing, so you kind of get that ambiance. But they'll have the look of fake fans in there. We didn't have that last night in either ballparks, as we mentioned. Yankees win this one 4-1 in a rain-shortened game. The two big boys, Giancarlo Stanton, goes 2-for-3. Judge goes 2-for-3. They're 4-for-6. They have all the RBI. Stanton has 3. Judge has the other one. So, I mean, the big guys got it done for them. The Dodgers win 8-1, game that was tied 1-1 going into the seventh inning before the Dodgers broke it open. Kike Hernandez has 4 hits in that one. As the big news there was the fact that Clayton Kershaw did not start. He got scratched before the game. Turned out it was Tuesday. He kind of messed up his back a little bit. So we'll see where that goes. I mean, the problem for me is he's had that issue before. He's had back issues before.
And they can go at any time.
And this is a short season.
Yeah.
So how many starts do you end up missing? Hopefully just this one.
Yeah, so I can say it is interesting, because you saw, all right, you have guys on the Yankees side, Judge and Stanton, looking very good early on in all this one. But that is the effect of this shortened timeline, is if you're dealing with anything or you've got something and you don't get your normal routine, I'm sure because Clayton Kershaw's dealt with that before, anyone who's got a back will tell you, you get used to the routine that you need to feel good to go. Like, I mean, and Trey laughs, but it's true. Even now, like, I haven't played in God knows how long at this point, and my back wasn't nearly as beat up as Clayton Kershaw's. I never had to go under the knife. But if you don't have a routine every day, you're going to find yourself walking around, tightening up in a bunch of places you don't want.
It's just funny. Anyone has a back. You know, it's like, we all have a back. it's back issues.
The general sports. I got a hammy. I got a back. I got a knee.
In all honesty, we saw it last week when Tiger at the Memorial. We talked about the fact that he finished in the late afternoon. He had the short turnaround to 8:27 that next day. How would the back respond? And he had an awful round. He shot a 76.
Jason Day
on that Friday. Yeah. So we'll see where that goes with Kershaw. Now, they have expanded the playoffs to 16 teams, so it's not like the Dodgers would be in jeopardy, and we're getting way too far ahead of ourselves here. But my issue is that Clayton has had this before, and in a shortened season, man, everything counts quicker.
It is interesting, right? Because on opening day, the Yankees won and the Dodgers won. So can we just fast forward to the World Series between the Yankees and the Dodgers,
right?
Can we just do that? We just go put on that train going forward?
And I'm sure Major League Baseball would like to, because, like Dad said, you got all the microcosm to the things that could happen at the beginning of this year, certainly, meaning some players dealing with an injury like that in Kershaw because you don't have the normal lead-up time to all of this. There's some great sound from Mark to share that we can get to talking about how that timeline works. But you also had the other thing they're all worried about, a young star testing positive and not being available for that game in Washington. You had Juan Soto unable to go in a lot of this in the beginning, dealing with a coronavirus test because of a delay in the time that you got it back. Yeah. Like, these are the problems that you start up that baseball should be worried about, and quite frankly, so should football.
Without question, and we'll hear from Jeff Passan on that, plus Doug Glanville will join us a little bit later, as will June Lee and Marlou Rivera. So lots more to get to on this. But coming up next, one franchise that got it right out of the gate, and one that is still trying to figure the whole thing out. We'll get to all of that.
Just come up with a freaking name. Call it Steve.
Sentinels is coming. Just do it. I mentioned 2.5 weeks ago. Just do it.
I love that Mina just advocated for the team being the Washington Steves.
Just call it Steve. Just call it Steve.
Probably best for them just put a placeholder in, get through whatever this season is going to be, and then roll out the new name next year.
This sounds like somebody owns the trademark to the name that they want, and this is something that's going to be battled out in court.
No. Mm-hmm. I sense a theme today during the rejoins.
Oh, boy.
New album dropped last night for Taylor Swift.
Happy Folklore Day. It's Tay Day, guys. Man, what a What a journey we're on. What a journey of self-discovery for her. The surprise album drop in the middle of the pandemic. She stayed busy. I appreciate that.
So you're already halfway through the album?
Already halfway through the album right now. Feels pretty good. You can feel there's a lot of different presences in this album right here. Cardigan, I think, is going to be the first music video off the album in a lot of this. But a lot of different influences. She put out a big, long post the other night talking about everything that went into this because we only found out about 24 hours ago. It was sort of a last-minute thing.
Held it off well.
Usually there's a pretty big role. Out some clever social media stuff in it. Very simple this time. Maybe finding herself a little bit.
Oh boy.
She had the documentary on Netflix not too long ago documenting some of the more serious things that she had been a part of and the things she had been through. So maybe a lot of personal growth in this one.
A lot of breakdown there.
I was about to say
that. A lot of breakdown.
That was very impressive. I spent a lot of time on that.
I am very excited to finish this album.
Well, we'll get through the show quickly so you can do that.
Thank you. I was going to say, if you guys can somehow speed up time over the course of the next four hours,
we'll do that. Whip through the next 3 hours and 40 minutes just to make sure you get on your way.
Thankfully, we've got a lot of stuff. Like,
yeah, we do.
Who knew yesterday we were going to see not one but two new team names in all of this going on between
one placeholder and one
new name and another kind of we're going to wait and see.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So let's do the positive first.
Oh my gosh,
Seattle's new NHL team nailed it. The Seattle Kraken.
Release the Kraken.
I mean, already your pregame is set, right? Your pregame is set. You play Liam Neeson saying, release the Kraken as the lights are going. You're getting ready to introduce the team. I mean, it's golden for him right now. What a phenomenal name.
It feels perfect. This is like we used to play Michigan State, the Spartans, and they would play when 300 came out, Spartans, what is our profession? And then they would do the with the crowd
it
in their game.
It was awesome.
And all of a sudden you're like, oh man, this could go poorly. And then you remembered you were playing Michigan State, except for that one time. I know what happened. Don't tweet.
Fake F.
Don't tweet me. But it was an awesome way to intro the team. So Kraken already set.
It's fantastic. I love it. Now they wanted to call. Do we have the explanation of, I didn't know if we had the explanation.
Oh yeah, no.
Emily Kaplan did a great article on ESPN.com about that because they considered calling themselves the Metropolitans. But remember, there's a division.
Because they used to be called that. They won the Stanley Cup in 1917. They were the Metropolitans, but there is a division, the Metropolitans, so they weren't going down that road.
And by the way, somewhat weirdly, historically, the Seattle Metropolitans were playing the Montreal Canadiens in the 1918 Stanley Cup Finals, which was delayed by the Spanish flu pandemic that year. And they actually had to call there was no winner of that because there were a couple players that died during the Spanish flu pandemic played for the Canadiens that year.
Dear God.
There you go.
Well, that's a little history for you. That's a great bit of history. Also, the Kraken have going for it great colors, a great secondary logo with the anchor tied into the Space Needle and all that.
The whole thing is just fire.
It was, you know what it was? It was a very good course on how you roll out a new logo. They had the merchandise ready to go. They had a breakdown going on. Their website did a very good job of explaining, this is what went into our logo. This is what went into our color scheme and all this. This is why we did X, Y, and Z and laid it all out really well.
So was anybody shocked that Michael Wilbon hated it?
Water's wet.
The most predictable thing, he absolutely hated it. I love it. I think it is fantastic.
So that one, two enthusiastic thumbs up, right? And then there's HTTFT, the Washington Football Team. The team formerly known as the team we're not going to say anymore, announced yesterday that for the 2020 season, they will not have a logo specifically. They will not have a nickname. They will just be known in the NFL's 2020 regular season as the Washington Football Team. Now, to me, a couple of things come to mind right off the top here. Number one, clearly this is an indication that there wasn't a real plan in place, and this caught one person, Dan Snyder, by surprise, and he really didn't want to change the name. And two, they probably are trying to chase something that somebody else has, and they're trying to get the copyright for it.
Yeah, no, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And yeah, that's about as straight talk as it gets in this situation. And you know what? It's one of those things that when they announce this, like, all right, we're going to be the Washington Football Team. First off, I'd imagine that someone trying to be sensitive to the idea that their name was a racial slur sent an email in that office, and then Dan Snyder saw that email. I was like, Washington Football Team, I haven't heard that one before. This is genius. Let's go with it. And then that sort of took root there, Inception style. But it's one of those instances where this is probably the right move.
Yeah.
Like, giving time, room, and thought to something that is going to be the name of your football team that obviously has a ton of branding associated with it is probably the right move. But when you make the wrong move so consistently in the process leading up to this, we're going to roast you on the internet like we did yesterday. Like, those two things have to happen because of what your past actions have
been. Dan Snyder's not getting the benefit of the doubt, because I agree with you in all honesty, because of the wrong moves by them and because of the fact that, remember, 7 years ago, Dan Snyder said, I'll never change the team name. And now how quickly this all happened about, you know, the three other owners who owned 40% wanted to sell. They wanted this name change. They wanted the name gone, and they wanted a new name. And you know Dan Snyder didn't want to do it. So then he got forced into doing it. So why force another new nickname?
Yep.
Right? I mean, you know there's got to be that search. There's got to be that copyright. We had Floyd Reese, who was the GM of the Titans, my coach with the Oilers, GM of the Titans, said it took over a year to get everything going the right way on that. And that wasn't off a quick, you better get rid of the name that you have now and get a new name. So I agree with you, Mike. I actually think this is the right move. Take your time. Find a way to find the name that you want, but because it's Dan Snyder, because he does things, has done things wrong, he's not going to get the benefit of the doubt, and he's going to get killed for this. But I actually think, take a breath here. The unis are cool. They're going to put the numbers on the helmet and where the logo was. You live for that for a year, and then you get a team name. I'm not going to be this hot takey, have a big deal, say this is a big deal, but there is a reason that it's going to get roasted, and the reason is Dan Snyder.
Pragmatically, what you're saying makes all the sense in the world. But the other thing people are going to do, and it's an interesting discussion, whether it's right or wrong, is like, that's an interesting thing to talk about, and we'll have a lot of discussion about that. Well, we're not talking about the other thing that's going on with the Washington football team. It does provide some cover for them in a very easy way.
Well, and that's what we believe, and that's why we believe this feels so disingenuous, because when you had the announcement, non-announcement last Monday saying, well, we're going to, or was that last Monday or this Monday? Time is a flat circle in the middle of this pandemic, but when Washington came out and made the announcement, again, we're going to change the name. We don't have one, but we've done the sort of internal review, and we're going to change it when we have a new one. Then the Washington Post article comes out and all that. It just looks so transparent as something you were trying to cover up with that kind of news that now you're right. We look at this and rightly say, focus on the main thing. Like, that external review that they've got going on right now is the important thing in Washington. And while this is going to be a good punchline where we all get jokes off, we got to keep the main thing the main thing.
You're 100% right, but it's doing that thing already. So we all need to make sure we
keep
are doing our due diligence
on the right thing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
By the way, this is the timeline of events that we said. They announced they would go through a review of the nickname and logo on July 3rd. They announced they would retire the nickname and logo at the end of their review on July 13th. That was last Monday. And then today's announcement that they would go with the Washington football team as a temporary name was yesterday. In the middle of that, it was like the end of last week, was that Washington Post article. So you can see how that timeline is a little bit suspect.
Exactly. So again, just understand what is and isn't going on with the Washington football team. And all of that is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Golic and Wingo with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And coming up next, the one thing that could stop the entire season when it comes to Major League Baseball, even though it just began. We will get to that. So what we've learned is Buster really likes baseball.
Man,
food.
Buster really likes that food,
really
doesn't he?
He really likes baseball.
Wow.
That might be the biggest thing we have in common with Buster.
Holy
there you go.
Smokes.
Well, we all don't have dairy farms in Vermont, so we have to have the baseball food to bring the whole string together with Buster. Golic and Wingo with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including our next guest, ESPN baseball writer June Lee. So we had baseball back last night. The Yankees and the Dodgers both win. June, let's start with the Yankees here. Clearly, if the first outing is any indication, so far it looks like money well spent for Gerrit Cole. He was everything the Yankees wanted him to be in his debut.
Yeah, last year Cole really, really just put it together and kind of combined stuff and the analytics and the approach. And I think he kind of just saw that continuation last night. I thought it was a little too spot on for 2020, the fact that the first game of the season was shortened after five innings by torrential downpours.
With a massive storm. I mean, the foreboding is just there.
Yeah, and the fact that people were waiting longer with the rain delay than we actually had baseball, I just thought was too spot on for 2020. I mean, at the end of the day, the Yankees have the most on-paper talented roster in baseball. And they, in theory, should make it far in the postseason. But I think I'm very interested to see just kind of the impact of this expanded playoffs. Three-game series is kind of a crapshoot, and if you see more teams come in, you know, we've seen obviously just upsets in the NBA playoffs before. I think that this year has a chance to be extremely chaotic in a fun way for baseball. You have 60 games. Every single pitch just matters so much more. I think we're going to see a significantly increased reliance on high-powered relievers. I'm just interested to see just kind of the entire chaos of the season, and I think last night was just kind of a little bit of an indicator of that. You know, you had an extremely shortened baseball game last night.
Talking to June Lee, again, was a part of our Baseball Tonight Live on Twitter. Him, Gary Streisky, Clinton Yates, getting everyone ready for baseball action last night. And some of the expectations there, certainly on the positive end, but on the negative end of things last night, we already had as the backdrop, all right, Clayton Kershaw missing because of back tightness in there, and then Juan Soto with the Nats has a positive test that all of a sudden leaves him sidelined in this. June, how concerning is the timeline of events that led to that positive test for Juan Soto as much as anything else?
Yeah, it's extremely concerning. Just the fact that that he went a couple of days testing negative and then he tested yesterday on opening day. You know, I think there is a contract tracing effort that's going on. But if you're a player, I have to imagine that this undermines the confidence that the league has built up over the course of the past couple of weeks. There's been a lot of just good buzz for the most part about just the fact that, you know, players are staying disciplined and staying inside and not getting infected for the most part. And so I have to imagine that this, as a player, is extremely concerning, just because, you know, the entire foundation of this season and whether or not we can pull this off, have baseball for you know, a 60-game season, is completely dependent on whether or not these players feel confident in their abilities to stay healthy. And at the end of the day, the competitive integrity of the season is going to be compromised if you have large swaths of players testing positive. And Juan Soto is one of the best players on the Nationals. Losing him for an extended period of time is going to fundamentally change the outcome of the season, because it's a 60-game season. Just, you know, having two bad weeks could put you out of playoff contention.
Well, and if Juan Soto really didn't infect anybody else, that really is a credit to the players and their social distancing and wearing the masks, you know, when they're not playing the game. That would certainly be a credit, because we are going to have to, in all these sports, rely on the players to be doing the right thing. So that's something that they can control a bit here. Something that, unfortunately, Clayton Kershaw can't seem to control is that back issue that he has, because we've seen it before. I know Mark Teixeira said he wasn't concerned because it would be like a spring training issue in a normal season, but this isn't a normal season, June. It is only 60 games. It is accelerated. And while, because of the expanded playoffs, I don't think anybody believes the Dodgers aren't going to be in the playoffs, how concerned should Dodger fans and Dodger players be about his back?
I mean, Clayton Kershaw is Clayton Kershaw, so there's definitely a lot to be concerned with. You know, for the Dodgers' benefit, they have an incredibly deep roster. You saw Dustin May come out last night on extremely short notice and really, really throw the ball well for someone who's still very, very early in his career. I can't even imagine what it must have been like to hear before the game, like, hey, Clayton Kershaw's out. Being Dustin May, just being thrown out there last minute, being really early in your career and getting your first opening day start. You know, the Dodgers obviously should be concerned. The fact that they have an extremely deep roster is extremely helpful towards that. But Kershaw is getting up there in age now. And so he's been kind of adapting his pitching style for a while. He's way less dependent on his fastball than he used to be. But it's still Clayton Kershaw at the end of the day. This is someone who, if the Dodgers want to win a World Series, and obviously he's been a part of the Dodgers not winning the World Series with a lot of, you know, big postseason moments. But if the Dodgers want to win, he's probably going to have to play a role in it, just because, you see the Yankees roster and the fact that this is a chaotic season.
it certainly is going to be chaotic, as June Lee is with us, ESPN's baseball writer. So, June, let's talk about chaotic. The Toronto Blue Jays, or the Blue Jays, because they're not going to be.
Yeah, how about
where,
it?
What's going on with where the Blue Jays may nest this season?
So, I mean, currently the word is, I mean, yesterday, just locally, I'm currently in Bristol, Connecticut, in a hotel room. We saw that Hartford was reaching out to the Blue Jays, and Hartford seems to make sense as a potential destination for the Blue Jays, just given the proximity to New York and to Boston, which are obviously two teams that they're going to be playing a lot. It's just kind of so bizarre, right? Like, I feel like this is a predicament that I don't think I could have ever have expected going to the year, just at any point, I guess, just the fact that the Blue Jays are completely displaced and are trying to find a city to play in. It speaks to the absurdity of the circumstances that the Canadian government was basically just like, the U.S. isn't safe enough to allow teams into our country right now. Hey, Blue Jays, you can't play here right now. It kind of just feeds into the surreal nature of this season and the fact that, you know, it must be really, really awful for a lot of these Blue Jays players, you know, to have prepared for an entire, you know, off season and spring training and summer camp to play in Toronto. And then suddenly they have no idea where they're playing. And obviously living in Toronto would be very different from living in Hartford, Connecticut.
Talking to June Lee with us, ESPN Major League Baseball writer. Can confirm Toronto and Hartford, not a ton of similarities there, but Dunkin' Donuts Park is a fine establishment.
Respect
here.
The yard. We all respect the yard.
We all respect the yard around here, and we hope the best that people will do the right thing in all of this one. But June, one of the other undercurrents of last night was a lot of things going on in the world of these social issues reaching Major League Baseball in a way that, as an outsider, certainly feels uncommon. It's not a place that I expect to see dealing with a lot of this. And yet we saw both coasts, players taking a knee before the anthem, Mookie Betts fresh off a monster contract in a what was a turn of opinion for him, kneeling for the anthem in a lot of this. I'm curious, as someone who's around the sport a lot more, how surprised have you been by the way that Major League Baseball has taken to having this as a part of its messaging going into this season?
So I think that this is kind of a continuation of the stretching of the unwritten rules that I think baseball has been kind of confronting over the course of the last 5 years specifically. And I think a lot of the conversation kind of stems back to Tim Anderson doing the bat flip and kind of re-sparking the conversation in a serious way around unwritten rules and just kind of showing personality. And I think you saw an extension of that this offseason when the Astros scandal hit and you saw all these players tweeting out on social media. And like, as a baseball writer who's, you know, I spend a lot of time on social media, you don't necessarily expect to see a lot of baseball players posting their opinions about anything, let alone, you know, the biggest scandal in the sport. And so you see, given everything that's happened in America following the killing of George Floyd, a lot of the discussions around baseball have been similar, just like they haven't been in industries across America. So it doesn't surprise me to see more players standing up. I mean, I talked to Delino DeShields this offseason, who said he regretted not kneeling with Bruce Maxwell when he knelt with the Oakland A's. You know, specifically with Mookie, I think a thing that's important to point out is that Mookie's dad is a veteran of the Vietnam War, is a veteran of the Air Force. And obviously, you know, if you are educated on kind of the purpose behind kneeling, it has obviously nothing to do with the military. I think Mookie kind of articulated that last night in his comments postgame, where he said that when he made the comments on, you know, not wanting to disrespect the military, he simply wasn't educated. And I feel like that's something that is a lesson that we should kind of take into our day-to-day lives, is that we should, you know, given how angry people get on Twitter about a variety of things, depending on what opinion you hold, changing your opinion based on new information or just educating yourself, I feel like that's something that should be normalized a lot more in our society today, especially in a time where, you know, we're having all these important discussions about a lot of really important issues. And I encourage just people to get more educated because, you know, Mookie, I think, is a prime example of that last night. You have someone who signed an enormous headline-grabbing contract, who knows that all the eyes are going to be on him as one of the most prominent black players in the league. And knowing all of that, he chose to kneel. So I think that kind of speaks volumes to kind of the intent behind Mookie's message last night.
Just to, for everybody to understand Mookie Betts, again, back in 2016, he said he would not take action of kneeling. His father, Willie, as June mentioned, served in the Vietnam, the U.S. Air Force. His quote, Mookie Betts said why he did kneel last night. He said, "I wasn't educated. That's my fault. I know my dad served, and I'll never disrespect the flag, but there is also has to be change. Kneeling is for the injustice."
Absolutely there. So clarify that stance there. And June, as someone who, you know, certainly covered the Red Sox for a while and has ties in Boston, as well as Mookie Betts and all that, when there is also, you mentioned, the reaction on social media to what Boston put up and the message that they tried to send, the Black Lives Matter that they had put up, that sort of mural, whatever you want to call it, outside of the park there, that certainly drew harsh response online, which unfortunately is to be expected. But what did you make of that move from the Red Sox in general? Obviously, that's a city that's been coping with some things as a part of its recent past in regards to a lot of these issues.
Yeah, and I grew up in Boston, and you know, grew up a Red Sox fan my entire life, and I'm very deeply intimately familiar with, you know, a lot of the issues around race. And Boston, specifically the Red Sox, has, you know, a history, you know, a pretty deep history kind of stemming back with all this stuff. I mean, the Red Sox had an opportunity to sign Jackie Robinson and Willie Mays and didn't because of their owner. They were the last team in baseball to have a black baseball player, Pumpsy Green. And so there's an entire history behind this, and the Red Sox are very much aware of this. Last couple of years, they changed the name of the street in front of Fenway Park. It used to be named Yawkey Way, after former Red Sox owner Tom Yawkey. And they changed in recent years to Jersey Street as a result of just kind of Yawkey's legacy and the history and reputation of racism. And so, you know, there's been a lot of moves of the Red Sox trying to do more in regards to this stuff. They put out a pretty comprehensive statement in regards to the Black Lives Matter movement. I think one of the more comprehensive statements in baseball in regards to all that stuff. And, you know, you saw people like Torrey Hunter coming out on your show and Adam Jones coming out praising the Red Sox. But at the end of the day, you know, statements are statements. And so I think the Red Sox are currently trying to find ways to do more, whether that's internally. You know, there's been a lot of discussion in recent weeks just about the diversity in front offices and the lack of diversity in a lot of them. And I think that, you know, the Red Sox are trying to find a way to do this. But at the end of the day, you know, there is a portion of the fan base who's obviously going to react negatively to that. And the loudest people are very, very vocal on social media. And so, you know, for me, it's incredibly encouraging to see this kind of progress as someone who grew up watching the Red Sox. But at the end of the day, statements are just statements. Signs are just signs. People want systemic change in this moment in a lot of regards.
And we'll see what happens with that going forward and see what happens with the season going forward. Again, the Soto test for coronavirus is going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. June, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
You know, before we jump to we want to talk about Tyson and the boxing a little more on this baseball with where the Blue Jays are going to play.
Yeah.
The players really want to play in a big league stadium, sure. You know, and as we know, in Pittsburgh, it got nixed by the local government there. And now they're talking about Camden Yards, which, I mean, okay, it's great you want to play in a big league ballpark, but I mean, some of the restrictions, and it still has to be
okay
there, is they wouldn't be allowed to use the home clubhouse. They wouldn't be allowed to use the visiting clubhouse. They're talking about putting up tents with makeshift showers and lockers to dress in. I mean, is that what you – I'd be interested to know from ball players. I'm just thinking of myself and going back in the day, do I want to dress under a tent in a makeshift, or do I want to, you know, you got the either Hartford here at the Yard Goats, or you got the AAA in Buffalo, or at least you have – clubhouses that you could go into. I know the stadiums aren't big league stadiums, but this is what you would have to do if you truly wanted to play in a big league stadium. You may be dressing in a tent.
Well, it's interesting. The first thing I thought of when you said that, the year the Saints were displaced by Hurricane Katrina,
right,
and they went everywhere. And one time they were in San Antonio and they were in a parking lot, basically, with their weights set up there.
A
parking lot was a way for them to get a workout in. So you're right. There's a lot of logistics there that could be very difficult if you want to get into a major league park when you have something as close as Buffalo or here in Hartford. Which really might be able to suit your needs a little better. So we'll see what happens there as that story continues to unfold. Golic & Wingo is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. You mentioned the other thing we want to talk about,
we'll
get to that after we get to what's trending.
Yep, get you caught up on a little bit of what's going on around the world of sports. The NHL's got a new franchise, and it's the Seattle Kraken. Announced on Thursday, the Seattle Kraken franchise went mythical on the nickname and logo that combines both the city's hockey history as well as its most known building. Seattle considered the Metropolitans the name of their original pro hockey team that won the Stanley Cup back in 1917. Though there was some pushback from the league, the NHL is a metropolitan division. Commissioner Gary Bettman didn't want to change it for the sake of the new franchise. The S in the logo pays homage. Is it homage? Homage?
It's homage. It can be all of them.
All right, there we go. I always mess that up.
Homage.
Strong start today to the Metropolitan logo. And the term Kraken sounds familiar. The 2010 movie Clash of the Titans, Liam Neeson's Zeus cries out, "Release the Kraken." The catchphrase, which will be featured on the theme's film trailer and became an instant pop culture hit and is all over their merch.
Release the Kraken.
Feels good. As the NFL and NFLPA work to finalize an agreement on the rules and finances of the 2020 season and beyond, the two guys are still negotiating three key points, according to our own Dan Graziano. Those are rules for training camp, acclimatization period, procedures via which the players could opt out of the season for coronavirus-related reasons, and how to handle the league's long-term finances and future salary caps. Just three very small reasons, nothing to worry about. The league would like to take the hit all at once while the players want to lower the salary cap and spread it out over the course of multiple seasons. And lastly, Mike Tyson will face Roy Jones Jr. Yes, I that is not a typo. That is not anything wrong. Mike Tyson is going to fight Roy Jones Jr. in an exhibition bout September 12th in Los Angeles. Tyson last fought 15 years ago, while Jones, a former champion in four weight classes who is 51, last appeared in a professional bout February of 2018. Here is Mike Tyson on First Take.
It's because I can do it. And I can do it, and I believe other people believe they can do it, too. Just because we're 54, that don't mean we have to start a new career and our life is totally over. Not when you feel as beautiful as I do, and I'm sure other people feel the same way.
Wow.
All right, there's a lot to get into there. And first of all, hey, listen, if he wants to do it and someone else wants to do it, that's his choice, that's their choice, I understand that. But I'm happy that it's two 50-plus-year-olds, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not Mike Tyson right? fighting like someone in their right. prime.
Exactly.
Also, quickly, what's trending brought to you by Redbox. Rent Scoob at Redbox tonight. Scooby-Doo, Shaggy, Mr. Inc. discover that Scooby's secret legacy could be the key to stopping a global dogpocalypse. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch. I mean, there are people that say, I'm not going to watch. They have a problem with this. Man, not me. Go ahead. You want to go do it, do it. I mean, I think... What's going to be better than the fight, unfortunately, is the workout videos of Mike Tyson. They're ridiculous.
They're insane, and he is in great shape.
Incredible. So he's 54, as Mike, you mentioned, last fought in 2005. Roy Joe Jr., who fought in the middleweight division, the super middleweight, the light heavyweight, and the heavyweight division, is 51 and just fought like a couple of years ago. So while he was in his high 40s there. So I don't know what to expect here. They're talking about 12-ounce gloves. They haven't decided if there's going to be headgear yet or not. But all I know is Mike Tyson punches really, really hard. I don't know how long he can last, how far he can go, because the punching is great, but will the legs carry you? I have no idea for any of that. It's going to be pay-per-view, and really interesting how many people end up buying that.
Yeah, and I saw on this one, too, you had Nate Robinson and
YouTube star Jake Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a that's a guy I think a lot of people want punched in the face.
And they're hoping Nate Robinson does that.
But, like, just overall, such a strange mishmash of things in this one. And I'm with you. Like, they're two consenting adults who have done this before. Like, they have lived in that world. There is something that looks at it that's kind of sad that at this point they've still got feel like they've got to go out and fight because this feels like it could be a financial thing in both cases.
Well, Tyson, remember, like, he was much heavier out of shape. I think he went full vegan, didn't he?
Yeah, he did something because he dropped a ton of weight.
I mean, he looks tremendous.
He looks fantastic.
But as you know, it's one thing. It's like the old adage on a football player. You want that guy first off the bus because he looks great.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't play so great anymore.
You have no idea how it's going to go. Is he going to do his signature thing when the bell rings, go flying across the ring and just try and end it right away? It's supposed to be an 8-round exhibition. Do they want to put on a little show? I mean, how is this thing going to work? Or is it going to be serious right out of the gate? I have no idea. I don't believe we've seen anything like this before. Or are going to be asked to pay for it like we are if we want to watch it.
And most of us are going to because we're addicted to violence in that way that we can't look away from, even if in this instance, like, this would be like if we just had you guys fight in the basement here.
Well, that would end pretty quick.
Yeah, nobody would pay for that.
Yeah.
Because neither one of us would like Tyson.
I know one guy that would pay for it. Ring the damn bell.
Let me put it this way. And I know what I am. More importantly, I know what I'm not.
There you go.
And that would end with two thuds. Him hitting me and me hitting the floor.
Yep.
That would be it on that one. Coming up, the one thing that could stop the Major League season and the one thing that could stop the Dodgers from getting to the World Series. We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo.